Part 3 today of our extraterrestrial invasion series. That's what we're doing together. And I want to just recap some of the things that we've been learning so far before we get into the outline that's there in your program. But you can take that out now and get your Bible open to Mark chapter 9. That's where we're going to be today. But let me give a little recap. First, we learned, this was the first lesson in the series, that when humanity, all of us from Adam and Eve on, when we rebelled against God by our sin, what we were doing was surrendering control to the rebel tyrant Satan. He ended up taking over this place. We surrendered to him. But we also learned that 2,000 years ago in the ancient Near East, the real king, Jesus, God in the flesh, he broke into this besieged world. And he began a revolution, taking back ground for the kingdom of God. And it all culminated in his death, where he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross so that we could escape our captor, and in his resurrection, where he triumphed over death, so all who turn away from sin and toward Jesus can enter God's kingdom and be a part of it. Now, last week, what we talked about was our personal response to this advancing kingdom of God. What are we doing when we see God moving all around us? And we asked, are we standing in the way, feet planted in the ground, or are we jumping on board with what God is doing all around us? Now, today's message is entitled Tapping Alien Tech. That's short for technology. All right, but I'm using the new Avengers and Iron Man movies, short version of that that's been popularized there. All right, tapping alien tech. If we are on board, assuming we are on board with what God wants to do all around us, how can we see his power at work in our lives? That's what we want to know. How do we see his power in our church, really at work in our church and in this community around us and in our world? Well, between last week's passage and the passage we're going to look at today, a lot has been happening in this invasion by the kingdom of God. Jesus has been healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. He's multiplied food to feed thousands in one sitting. And he's displayed his dominion over even nature, telling storms to shut it and they stop, calming seas. And all the while, he's been teaching about the advancing kingdom of God. In this time, he's also chosen 12 top disciples out of his many followers to do the same things he's been doing. They've been going into cities, and they've been casting out demons, and they've been healing the sick. The kingdom is advancing, and excitement is building around the ministry of Jesus. And then right before, in the chapter we're going to look at, right before the passage we look at, Jesus takes the top three of the 12 and they go on a little retreat up on this hill. While they're there, those three get to witness Jesus miraculously transformed into his glorious state. Check that out. It's called the Transfiguration. It's an excellent experience for them. But while they're out there on that mountaintop experience, there's something very different happening at the bottom of the hill. And so when we pick up in our story, Jesus is coming back down. He's transformed back into his regular state. He looks like Jesus' regular body again. And he's coming down with the three to join the rest of the group. Now, that's where we pick up in our passage. So turn in your Bibles to Mark 9, and we're going to pick up in verse 14. It's on the screen, and we're going to read the whole story. Then we'll go back and look at it in bite-sized chunks. But I want us to get the whole scope today. And so help me out when we get to the yellow print. You get to be, in many cases, the voice of Jesus today. So it's an honor to be reading the yellow print. It's like the red letter Bible, but this is the yellow letter Bible. All right? So here we go. It says, when they came to the other disciples, this is Jesus and the three that he was up on the hill with, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him onto the ground, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied. How long will I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground and he rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." Can only come out by prayer. How do we access the power that Jesus clearly has here and the disciples clearly did not? Well, the key to this is the answer that Jesus gives his disciples. This is absolutely key. He says, "This kind can only come out by prayer." In your Bible, you want to underline the word prayer and make a little mental note or possibly write in a note. You see, it's important to highlight the kind of prayer Jesus is talking about. The word prayer here, you're not going to believe this, I'm going into the Greek. Chris doesn't usually do that. That's Randy's thing, right? Well, I'm doing it because it's very important. The Greek word here is proseuke. I even said it like Randy, didn't I? I did a little bounce. Proseuke. He's not here to be proud of me. That's all right. He won't see the bounce when he listens to it later. Proseuke. That's not alien text up there. That's the ancient Greek text. And it doesn't mean the recital of a prayer, a one-time prayer, but continual prayer. That's what this word means. It shows up about 13 times in the New Testament. It's used in other places. For example, in Luke 6:12, there's an example of this, when Jesus spent all night in proseuke, continual prayer, which of course he did regularly. When you read through the Gospels, you see he was spending time to get away in prayer often. Another example in Acts 1:14. This is where it says all the believers joined together constantly in prayer. Proseuke. This is the kind of prayer. It's a regular life of prayer. Jesus wasn't talking about, well, with this kind of demon, you need to recite a specific kind of prayer for this particular occasion. That's not what he was saying. Rather, he was talking about a devotion to prayer and a dependence on God. That kind of lifestyle fuels being able to have the power in this situation. So when Jesus said, let's look at his answer again. It says, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "You don't have what it takes to cast out a demon like this. You need to be relying on God." And so he said, this kind can only come out by proseuke, by a constant life of regular, habitual prayer, dependence on God. And that's our main idea today. You want to write this down on your outline. The main idea is to depend on God daily to do what only He can. Depend on God daily to do what only He can. Now, this demon here, this wasn't the first time the disciples were up against a demon. It wasn't their first rodeo, as they say. They've cast out demons before. They knew the techniques. The disciples may have even prayed. We pray, God, that this demon would come out. They may have done that. And the disciples were excited to see the kingdom advance, and I assume, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, that they wanted to see this boy healed, to help this father out and to help his son out. And so the disciples possessed the will, and they possessed the method to perform this act, but they didn't possess the power, which comes from our daily dependence on God in prayer. Prayer is not just a tool for miraculous things to happen, but it's a life habit that brings us into a growing relationship with God that feeds every aspect of our lives. We may have the technique, the desire to do great things in our church, in our lives, but it's insignificant when compared to God's power at work as we depend on Him daily. And so to really nail this home today, that's the main idea. We've got it. That's what we're going to walk away with. But to really drive this in, we're going to look at three differences dependence makes. That's on the outline there. We're going to look back at little sections of this story and see the difference that dependence makes. And the first one is this: divisive ministry becomes dynamic. Divisive ministry becomes dynamic. Jesus comes back, and what does he find? An argument, a giant argument at that. Let's reread that. Put that up on the screen again. I'll read it to you. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. These are the other disciples, the followers of Jesus. It says, as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. And a man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a demon. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. So Jesus is up on the mountain and a large crowd gathers. They've heard that Jesus and the 12 are in town. And so they come out and the disciples start telling them about Jesus. They're getting really excited. You know, the disciples are left on their own. And they're like, oh, let's tell them about Jesus, guys. We got this crowd. And they say, yeah, we know Jesus. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? We know Jesus. We're part of his top 12. We're in the inner circle. And they're excited about that. We've been healing people. We've been doing it too. Not just Jesus. We've been doing it. Maybe you've heard. We were in this town and that town casting out demons. You probably heard about us, right? And so this dad comes forward. He's heard about Jesus, and he hopes that his son can be delivered from a demon possession. Whoa. And the disciples say, psh, we got this. Matthew, get over here. Get over here. Let's show him how we do this. And so they lay hands on this boy, and they say something like, I don't know, you deaf and mute spirit, we command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Same thing Jesus ends up saying. But nothing happens. So they warm up their hands. They got to do some more Mr. Miyagi-ing. That's the problem. All right? They warm up their hands and they do it again. They shake a little more this time. Nothing. Now the Jewish teachers, they start heckling them. Really? Is that all you got? We've heard some Pharisees that not long ago, Jesus healed this man right in front of everybody in a synagogue from a shriveled hand. You guys are a joke. You're all talk. You're all show. There's no real power here. No, we're not, Bartholomew says. By the way, he's one of the 12 disciples we don't know anything about, but he doesn't get enough time up on stage here, so I thought I'd mention Bartholomew, all right? We've done this all over the place. And so meanwhile, these guys start turning inwardly. They're fighting amongst each other. They turn to these teachers of the law. They're fighting with these teachers of the law. And then there's this dad who's left alone to pick his son up, who's lying on the ground because of this recent seizure that a demon had just had on him. Now, when Jesus shows up, there's a big difference. Jesus, who we noted is constantly retreating to spend time in prayer with his Father, proseuke, he comes in with dynamic power and it changes everything. People are overwhelmed, it says. They're in awe that Jesus has showed up. Arguments cease, all right? People just Let's quit bickering. And that demon, he doesn't stand a chance. He does not stand a chance. Now you might be thinking, well, that's Jesus though. Come on, that's Jesus. Well, let's consider the same group of disciples a little later in the New Testament. You may want to write this down to look at it later. In Acts 6:4, the apostles are talking about the importance of devoting their attention to the ministry of prayer. Okay, same word. This regular dependence on God in prayer. So the disciples finally got Jesus' main point at some point. They didn't have it here, but they have it later, and thank God that they did. And everything changes. Here's one example in Acts 2. It says, in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, this is talking about the church at that time, and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, just like when Jesus showed up in our passage today. They're filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that the are being performed by the apostles. All the believers are together and have everything in common. It's not a divisive bickering, who's the better minister than who anymore. And then you skip down and it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That's a dynamic difference that dependence makes. Dependence on God. If we're depending on ourselves instead of God, we're falling back on our own talent, our own will, and basically we're falling back on our own backsides. But if we want ministry, a life that's making a vital impact, well, it's only by proseuke. Let's look at the second difference that dependence makes as we move along in this passage, and that is the disillusioned, they become devoted. The disillusioned become devoted. The story goes on. Let's look at it again. It says, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It is often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And so again, here's this father. He came with the great expectation to see his son healed. He heard about Jesus and his disciples, and he believed they could help his son. But when he got there, he met a group of guys that had the desire to see the boy healed. They had the technique to do it, but they failed. And they erupt into this ego-driven argument. Meanwhile, this dad and the boy are standing there watching this go on, and the father's just losing his faith as he's seeing Jesus' disciples bicker. He was completely turned off by this experience. By their arguing, he just wanted Jesus to heal his son. By the time Jesus gets there, his reply is, heal my son if indeed you can even do it. Now Jesus appears to scold this guy a little bit. He takes him a little bit to task, questioning his statement. But I still think that this father is the best example besides Jesus that we have in this passage when you look at it. Because you see, we need to depend on God even just to believe in him. You know that? That we need to believe in God we need to trust in God and depend on him just to have trust and depend on him. Isn't that crazy? We don't even have what it takes to be devoted to Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. He draws us into a relationship with Jesus. He helps us trust in him in the first place, and he helps us to remain devoted to him. We need that daily dependence just to trust him. And so the dad says, I do believe, but I've been watching this demon try to destroy my son almost his whole life. Then I came to church and I saw the division and ego and no real power. I'm hurting, Jesus. Please, heal me too. Now many have a story of pain in their life or a painful experience that caused them to become disillusioned with the church, disillusioned with God. And it breaks my heart. But dependence, it makes all the difference. This man threw himself on Jesus and he didn't leave disappointed. He didn't leave disillusioned. Jesus healed him as well as his son. Even the act of asking Jesus to help his unbelief, we see that father's openness allows Jesus to start working in him, the healing begins. People often talk about not being in prayer regularly because they just don't feel it. I'm not feeling it, you know? And they don't think they sound like a jerk when they say that, but because I think they do. But I love you if you've ever said that. I'm just saying that's how I receive it. But I don't think you mean it that way. I just don't feel like it. What do you mean you don't feel like it? He's God. But anyway, okay, that has nothing to do with the point. I got to get back. Get back on to read the script, Chris. The script is good. All right. Waiting until you feel like it to start engaging God regularly in prayer, that's putting the cart before the horse. All right? You're doing things out of order when you do it that way. Depending on God daily in prayer, that leads to him transforming you into the devoted follower that he wants you to be, that you want to be. But you got to start. You got to start doing it. Throw yourself. You know, a recent example of this, there was this experiment. It was called the Atheist Prayer Experiment. Maybe you've heard about this. It was on a Christian radio program, actually, in the UK. The program is called Unbelievable. This is the website. You can check it out sometime. Look up, you know, the Unbelievable, and that'll pop up on Google. Christian radio. It's probably a good tag, too. You see a lot of unbelievable things that are just about aliens or something that are unbelievable. But anyway, in this challenge, there were dozens of atheists, and they were challenged to pray to God daily and see if it changes their perspective. That's what this was. And dozens of people signed up for this, and they tracked their progress, and the result through this process was a number of them crossing over to believing in God. They really, just from praying to him, and they started not believing he even existed. You know, in fact, these atheists, they were worse off than the father in our passage. He said, I do believe, just help me with where I am struggling with doubt. They were even worse off, but some of them must have been open because as they began to pray and depend on God, he moved them from doubt to devotion. And that's amazing. Our God who did this for the father in this passage, our God who did this for these atheists, he can certainly do this in our lives. He can certainly help us as we depend on him to erase our discouragement, our disillusionment. He can transform us as we depend on him daily in prayer. And now let's look at the third, the last item on your outline, the difference that dependence makes, and that is that the detained are delivered. You're waiting for us to get there. What about the boy? Yes. The detained are delivered. Once again, let's read this passage. I know it's a big one and we're reading it twice, but it's worth it. It's the Word of God. Jesus says, bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, he immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and he rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the Father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf, mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And the spirit shrieked. It convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Praise God. A miracle. A miracle. You know that dad went home a devoted follower of Christ that day. He met Jesus. He met Jesus, and it changed everything. You know, some will say, man, I wish that God worked like this today. I wish that's what, when we talk about the power of God, I know we're talking about, like, you know, to help us not sin as much, you know, or feel like reading our Bible. You know, I wish God worked like this today, like he did in the Bible. So many miracles. Well, do you know that there are about 340 recorded miracles listed in the Bible? That's over at least 4 millennia of recorded Bible history. Fewer than 40 of those miracles were actually done by Jesus in his ministry, as recorded. Now, we know he did more than what's recorded there. It even says that a few times in the Gospels. But my point here is that today, there are hundreds of cases of genuine miracles that have been verified happening around the world. And that's just in the last year. There are people who research these things and publish papers on these things. And I assume with confidence that there are thousands that go undocumented. I can assume that because we've seen miracles over the years just in the prayer letter that have been reported. People that have prayed for a healing, they've been healed. Real power. That's why we put out the prayer letter. We don't do it so we can feel pity for people or catch up on the gossip of what's going on. No, we do it because we believe that we can join together and proseuke on behalf of each other and what's going on so that we will see people healed. So we really will see people delivered from sin, from addiction, from sickness, from death, from mourning, from the tyranny of the devil. When we pray, we see people ushered into the kingdom of God, where they receive supernatural wisdom, provision, and eternity in Christ. And that remains the greatest miracle of all, when somebody is saved, when somebody crosses over from death to life. Bottom line, when we depend on Jesus daily, lives are changed. Miracles happen in our lives. Just like this boy, that we are detained by the devil when we don't have Jesus. We open with that bad news today, because that was at the first lesson. Humanity's rebellion against God, what the Bible calls sin, that was our surrender to the enemy. But here's the good news. When we turn back, when we surrender the King to Jesus, the true King who loves us. He breaks our chains and our lives, and he sets us free. He really does, like he really did here. And so what are some ways that we can increase our proseuke, all right, our regular prayer? I don't have this on your outline, but maybe you turn it over and write some of these down. We're going to close with these. The first one, of course, is daily prayer. That's personal time with God. People who engage God daily in prayer are better off than those who don't. Hashtag fact, okay? You can use the prayer letter. I mentioned that, and pray for the needs of the people around you in church. Needs don't go away when we depend on God daily. They don't go away. We just become equipped to deal with the pitfalls of life. You know, Don mentioned the snow earlier. One more time, because I didn't have his perspective. Anybody sick of the snow? Just, you're allowed to be. I know God sent the snow, but we can also be honest with God, all right, and say, but we're sick of it, God, but whatever you give us. Here's Michigan on the map. You've probably seen that going around Facebook. We're so covered with snow. You know, our dependence on God is kind of like this. I recently, it was very fortunate, Lee and I were able to get a snow blower. And snow keeps happening, whether you believe in God or not. You know, I can believe in the power of God, but I still need to shovel my driveway. But having a snowblower, having power, changes a lot, doesn't it? If you've gone from one to the other, maybe you're still struggling with a shovel, I feel for you, all right? I'll pray for your back, really. But having that snowblower is power. But you know what? There are times where I run out of gas in that tank, and I'm like, I'll get to that later, right? You say, or maybe I used it to fill up the lawnmower for the last cut in the fall, and I'm like, I know I got to get it for the snowblower. I'll get there. But then that snow hits, and you're not prepared. You don't have I don't have the gas in it, and I can't use my snowblower. It's sitting in my garage, and I can't use it. I'm out there with my shovel, which isn't a good one because I rely on my snowblower. And I go out there, and I have to use my own effort, and it hurts me, you know? It pains me. I do have a sore back. I need the heating pad, all because I didn't prepare myself. We need daily prayer. Another thing we need, and you need a snowblower. Two things you need. Number two, write down corporate prayer. That's praying together. Attending power nights, praying with your small group. You want to do these kinds of things. You guys have probably heard the news about Chuck Gatica, that he's leaving Channel 4, the news team anyway, on Channel 4, and he's taking a ministry position. I see a lot of heads nodding. That's awesome. That's God at work. Well, anyway, he's involved in this Life Remodeled Service project that we're going to be a part of in August. And he was interviewing the pastor for that. And even the pastor said, you know, I'm more of a doer than a prayer. I've always been that way. And I had to learn the importance of gathering together with God's people for prayer. He was being interviewed at an actual prayer meeting for this project last year. And they transformed entire city blocks. And that was God at work through his people. Yeah, they were lifting the hammers, but that was God moving people to do his work. And it started in prayer. And even he recognized the need to get back to that. We're going to take part in that again. You're going to hear more about this project, renovating Cody High School and several city blocks all around it downtown. But for now, the work is the proseuke. We got to be praying it up, okay? So come out to prayer meetings, get involved with your small group and be a part of that. The third thing, God's at War Part 2 is a great way to increase your prosecco. Okay, why? Because it's a season that we're engaging in as a church to help encourage one another on in our spiritual growth and formation. We believe that we work better together when you've got two or three or even just one other Christian brother or sister to encourage you on. And so if struggling to get into daily prayer and this kind of thing is hard for you, that's something that you can help hold each other accountable with. We're going to be talking more about that in the small groups. We've got little video clips coming out, so get plugged in there. But even if you're not involved with the combat journal, if you're following that, you know right where we're at. But if you're not doing that, my encouragement to you is pray about and then seek out and ask somebody in this church to help to come alongside you, and you both are open with one another about what's going on in your lives. It's not about just having another Bible study. That deals with problems too vaguely. We want to deal with the particular issues in our life. And it's not just about checking a checklist to make each other feel bad when we mess up every week, okay? It's not that kind of relationship. Instead, it's just about finding somebody that you can be open with and who can be open with you about the struggles so that you can encourage each other on. And you can ask each other, how are you doing in this? Let me be praying for you. Okay, we're going to do this together. If you want more info, I mentioned the small groups a couple times. Maybe you've never been to our Stony Creek webpage, but under ministries there, you see there in the middle where it's highlighted, that's ministries. You get a bunch that come up and you can tap small groups. You can find all the different small groups that are meeting all across the county, and even I think we've got one or two in Oakland County too, meeting different nights of the week. Get plugged in. That's a place where you can join in and prosecco, and you unlock the power of God that He wants you to see in your life as you depend on Him in prayer. You know, we're gonna close here in just a moment, but I want to say, Stony Creek Church does not need to be the sweetest church in town. All right. We don't need to be the coolest, hippest, most hyper-relevant church in town. Now, I am all about using our resources wisely, as Jesus taught, to influence people. I like having cool lights and good coffee and things like that. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. But without our daily dependence on God, none of it matters. Not a single bit of it matters. You know, the moments that we start as a church or even individually in our lives start relying on ourselves more, like, oh, we've got money to do lights. Now our church is really going to be impacting people. You know, when we start doing that, that's the minute that we start falling back into the bad deeds, the division and the disillusionment and detention. We detain the good things God wants to do. We stop them from happening. But as we move along, as we move into depending on God daily to do what only He can do in our midst, we're going to see real change that lasts forever. People forever changed by the power of God at work. This message is entitled Tapping Alien Tech because the power of God unlocked in our lives really is out of this world. All right? That's not just a pun. It's true. It's not anything we can generate on our own. We got to rely on Him. And so let's be a church that's constantly relying on God in prosecco. Okay. All right? All right? All right? Okay, cool. I wondered if I get a third all right out of you guys. Well, let's pray now. We're going to have our offering and close with a song that the team has prepared for us. Let's pray. God, we love You so much. I think of this father and his boy, and I just pray that here in our lives and in our church that we would be throwing ourselves on You, depending on You every day, so that we wouldn't wrestle with disillusionment and discouragement, but always just overflow with devotion to You. So that when people come in that are hurting, that this would be where they meet Jesus. They don't meet egos, they meet Jesus here. That's what we pray would happen, God. And that lives would be changed, that chains would be broken, the detainee would be delivered. People are set free and would go out and we would see changed lives. Teach us to depend on You because we can't even do that on our own. We can't even depend on You unless we depend on You to do it for us. Throw us on You, God, and show us Your power in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Bless this offering and use it to advance your kingdom. Amen.